Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins podcast, where we take a deep dive into different educational topics to help you optimize your life. And I'm back with return guest, which we were just talking about. Like, you know, I've had multiple guests on in what we term, you know, the podcast Jeremy with Friends that are professionals. So here we are with our first repeat unprofessional guest.
That could be an apt description in so many contexts. Labeling me as unprofessional, I probably could hear that at work as well as here. It's all right. I'll take it.
Unprofessional podcaster, unprofessional. Right. It's not CEO. What is your title again?
CFO.
CFO. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. So when I say professionals, Dennis is definitely a professional inside of his space, just not necessarily quote unquote, you know, got a PhD in exercise science or nutrition or something like that, like some of the other ones, guests that we have. There we go.
Indeed.
I'll clear that up. Had some good feedback from the first time that you were on, you know, with people on their wellness journey, which totally makes sense, right? Because, you know, you're an OG in the sense of, you know, first form clients with me. And of course I've got, you know, clients that are been with me longer than that, you know, that now have came to the app, right? So people I'd worked with maybe before, you know, I stumbled on first form, whether that be at CrossFit Thunder, you know, in Huntington, whether that been, you know, in the West Virginia Guard or even Metabolics, which was with Dr. Stickler, you know, one of the medical offices I worked with, you know, before that. So man, a lot of years. But you're kind of the first, you know, what we like to call, you know, OG client of first form, you know, winning the first time with me. So I think a lot of people were able to resonate to that journey.
No, it's good. I'm glad to hear it. I mean, that's the main thing I hope for is that if, you know, if a few people that, you know, and I certainly, as we've talked about many times, I can relate to kind of that middle-aged parent that's out there trying to balance it all and get after it. And that helps somebody kind of continue on, then that's good enough for me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's off topic, right? I know I texted you and said, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, zone two training and some sleep and how to, you know, put this Ironman training into a lifestyle when you've got multiple kids. Is the youngest one is still in elementary?
I have one more in elementary. She's in fifth grade. And I've got every school represented.
Elementary. That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to say that and be wrong, but you know, nope. Dennis has, you know, one of his children in elementary school, and then we go to, I mean, listen, I call it junior high. I guess it's middle school nowadays.
It's still junior high for me too.
Maybe. Right. Okay. So elementary, junior high, high school, and college.
Yep.
He's got them spread out.
You got it.
Yeah. So, but no, what you said, I think is very important, and I'm okay with this. I understand that everyone that listens to the podcast, people who continue to listen, it may be the one-offs that listen to it. I am not going to relate to 100% of the people. And I totally get that, right? I'm mid 40s. I grew up in Appalachia. I have a funny, you know, way that I talk. I have, you know, certain ambitions in life that might not work with some people, and that's okay. And I think, especially in this wellness space, more people need to realize that. Okay. And what I mean by that is, hey, if you are, you know, even 20s, but, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s with children, then maybe like on your feed, your social media feed or the people that you're listening to podcasts, the information you're getting, maybe those are the professionals you should listen to, mm-hmm. not the, you know, 25-year-olds that don't have kids because their perspective of life is just not there yet. My perspective of life at 25, 26 years old without kids is not what it is now. Right. And if I sit and look at it, I'm a much better, quote, dietitian and wellness coach now, you know, at 43 years old than I was at 23. And that's reality. And I think that sometimes people are just getting so caught up in this social media world. We're out here looking at people that, ooh, that's the life I need to follow what they're doing when it's nothing like our life. Right. And I think that, you know, this is a little bit off, like I said, soapbox off topic, but that would be something I would just put out to people. And, you know, why I wanted to have you on, you know, multiple times is like for those, let's face it, middle-aged people out there, they're living this healthy lifestyle. They're juggling, you know, life, family, work, all that. Like, hey, here are some things and here are some tools to make that happen. not what the 25-year-old's doing out there that doesn't have to juggle so many things. And this is nothing a knock against a 25-year-old that's out there putting out good information for people, right? It's just the reality of what we see.
Yeah, you hear that saying out there, and it's always tough to hear without more context. It's like everybody has the same 24 hours in a day, and it's like, well, yeah, same 24 hours, but we don't have the same level of responsibilities that we got to fit into that 24 hours. And so, well, no disrespect to the 25-year-old, single, no kids, shredded and getting after it. Like, that's awesome, but that ain't me. And that ain't you. And that ain't any, most people that are sort of in our demographic. And so, yeah, like, what you have to fit in and then trying to balance. And most of us that are listening to this went professional in something other than sports. So, it's trying to fit this in as a hobby and a lifestyle, along with sort of the true blue responsibilities of, raising a family and providing and all that kind of good stuff.
What I would say there, it's no different than like limiting, the content that you're pulling in from, whether it be news or for the TV shows that you watch or movies that you watch, right? You limit that certain content, right, to how it affects you and what you think of life and what is going on in your area, okay? I would encourage you to do the same thing in this space, right? So if you're on your wellness journey, you're in your health journey, like really look at who you're surrounding yourself with. So not only that environment that's around you, but also that social media world environment, right? Nothing wrong with muting, unfollowing, maybe it's people that don't fit into your realm, right? And don't have the same responsibilities and all that, because then you're not comparing yourself to that, right? You're not wondering how can I, not fit, this in or do that, et cetera. So, kind of on topic, kind of off topic, but I think it is a good segue, to what you're doing now, training for an Ironman, training for your third Ironman, and balance and everything. So let's kind of get the listener up to speed right now. Like, how's training going? What are some of the obstacles? What are some of the things that are going well?
Yeah. So, training for number three, in November, going to be doing it alongside, my compadre here that on this podcast for the third one with Jeremy, third one period. Right now I would characterize the training as kind of at the back end of base building. So, just building back up kind of the body to be used to doing longer runs, longer bike rides. Still mixing in weight training a couple times a week. But it's a slow build. And I think that's super important for me, because, trying to condense, a full training schedule without a slow ramp up, I'm 48 years old and, my body's not gonna be able to sort of handle that.
I broke up on my end. How old?
48 years old, staring down the barrel of 50 here in 2 years, less than 2 years now. You can see the gray, and those of us watching, anybody watching, you can see the healthy amount of gray in my beard here. But the body does not snap back at 48, even compared to when we were training for the first one, for my first one rather, in 2019, 5 years ago or so. The noticeable difference. And so I've really, so far so good. One of the things that I'm sure we'll get into that I've found that is super important to be able to do a significant training load, and still not, crush yourself is, prioritizing kind of preparation in the form of sleep and nutrition, but also like recovery on the back end and, trying to look into tools and whether it's devices or practices that help, recovery on the backside. Cause we are probably both guilty of being your stereotypical guy, which is, you don't, your warm up consists of a couple kind of movements here and it's like, okay, I'm warmed up and then cool down and stretch. Like that doesn't happen either. And so like that starts to catch up with you when you're an old man. So
first mile is the warm up, right? Don't need to do any stretch or any dynamic warm up. First mile is the warm up.
Yeah, that counts. So that's some things that we should talk about, because like that's been a noticeable difference with this run, getting into leading up, and I in order to avoid injuries and just sort of debilitating or ruining a whole Saturday and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that, one of the things I've noticed with you, being accountability partners and seeing some of your, runs on social media and the mileage and all that, but also looking at, taking a little bit step further and looking at the intensity of those runs, right? And I think that's, for the person, and I do my best when I'm instructing or doing briefs to try to speak and let you know who I'm speaking to, right? Because I know there might be some people out there listening, like, hey, you're an endurance athlete and you're going hard, you're trying to set a PR, and once again, different kind of goals. What we're speaking here, for Dennis and I in the conversation is like, okay, how do I go out and yes, maybe go a little faster than we did at our last one, but be able to balance life, right? Because there is this stereotypic in endurance space, right, that the person will go out and they'll do their 16-mile run on a Saturday morning, and then they won't do anything else the rest of the day because they're just beat,
Right.
right? They don't do any housework. The other significant others having to pick up all the slack and, do everything because this person goes and they run 16 miles, but then they sit on the couch the rest of the day, right? And it's kind of this, and I forget the terminology. I wrote down lazy endurance athlete, but I forget what it's kind of called in the circles of that. And I think that goes to what you're talking about, slowly building up base training, right? Because you go out, and I think you said this weekend you got a 14-mile run, but that 14-mile run will be just time on your feet. It's easy. When you're done, you are focused on the recovery things that we'll talk about, but you also, are not beat down, right? You can go, whether that's to, a college football game, in the fall, with the oldest kid, whether that is, to help Bonnie out with, whatever you guys got going on over the weekend. And I think that's important for people to realize, like, okay, if you're going to do this as a lifestyle, you're going to do it as a hobby, then you got to really look at a lot of your training being in that zone two or lower to where you're building that base, you're building that base, and you're really kind of picking the days that you beat your body down, right? 90% of the time, you're focused on recovery, you're focused on zone two, nice and steady inside of these workouts. When you're done, once again, you're not beat down.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll tell you, like, I don't have the luxury, even if I wanted to, and I'm just not wired to be able to, I think I'd go a little stir crazy anyway, but I don't have the luxury to just come home from a long, ride or run and just flop on the couch and just kind of say, all right, I'm checked out for the day. I just don't have the luxury for that. Stuff's got to get done around the house or grocery shopping, or a kid's got to go somewhere, or I want to go somewhere and watch a kid's game or go to a football game. Like you said, like life still happens. And so, there's some ways that I think are kind of, things that can be done with a little bit of effort to prepare, to fit that in. Because the other thing that's important in addition to sort of the physical, of crushing yourself is like, well, if you time these big workouts right smack dab in the middle of the day, then you're gone for two, three, four, and if you're doing long rides, 6 hours, and if you're not sort of adjusting that schedule to try to make it as conducive as possible to the rest of your family schedule, like you're not only going to be physically be checked out, but you're also just going to literally be gone for, a huge percentage of the day. And so even if you were up to it, you wouldn't be able to do anything because if you waited till 9 a.m. to start your workout and then, it's a 6 hour ride. So, you're not getting back until mid-afternoon, like day shot at that point. So there's a timing aspect, there's a preparation aspect, there's all these different things, which sounds like a long list, but at the end of the day, it's just a tiny little bit of effort and thoughtfulness that goes into it. And, you'll be able to sort of fit it all in and balance it.
100%. And, 2 points I want to bring out before we kind of, dive into what you and I are both doing currently, to build base, right? And I think base is so important in context, right? So if someone's running their first half marathon or first marathon, every long run is going to be hard because it is something new that your body has not done before, right? But once you build a base, and there's two posts on social media recently that I really enjoyed. Okay. And one of them was from David Goggins. Most people know who Goggins is, right? And he was talking about like what a lot of you don't understand. You see me putting in all these miles, but he is in a very, quote, easy run for him. And I think that's where the relative part comes out, right? So he's out there running. Yes, it may be 7, 8 minute miles. I can't remember the exact pace that he's running, but he's like, hey, 89% of these runs that I'm doing is in a zone, quote, two, right? Which is not breaking the body down. And I know I haven't covered the zones in the podcast yet. I don't think. Sorry, I'm getting old. I can't remember, but I will. But this is why, like, I push walking in my fat loss clients, because walking keeps you at a low heart rate. It doesn't break the body down. The body doesn't have to recover from it, but it still burns additional calories. So in zone two training, we're looking at five different zones. Zone two or below is, where you're getting aerobic conditioning. So you're increasing your VO2, you're getting cardiovascular fitness, but you're not breaking the body down. So I think that's very important. And then the other one is from Will Grumke, and Will posted something about, I can't remember if it was his high, marathon run or hydro, or is it hydrox? I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I could be butchering that, but it was like, hey, I haven't been running, but he's been training. Right. And I think that's where a lot of people, and you tease me, all the time about, well, when you're going to start training for your Ironman, right? Like, well, probably 8 weeks out specifically training, but I train daily, right? I'm working out daily, I'm working out weekly. So that base is always there. And I think that's very, once again, for context of people to understand, right? So, my goal this month is to cover 6 miles on average every single day on my feet. Right. So same thing as you, ramping up mileage, right? Building that base. Now, sometimes like on Tuesday, it was a 6 mile run and a 3 mile ruck. So I got 9 miles in that day, right? Monday was just 6 miles of rucking. So it will vary what I'm doing to cover that 6 mile average. But that is the goal this month, is to build that base up. So it's like, well, Jeremy, you haven't ran all year and you just started cranking out long runs. No. There was a building a base there, right? It was nice and easy, slow movement building time. And once again, looking back, me doing my first Ironman in 23, gosh, 22, 23 years old. So that's 20 years ago. Woo! So for consistently now 24, 25 years, I have trained. Yes, there's been weeks off, et cetera, but I've been training for something. I've been working out, right? So the body has that adaptation, that quote unquote, it remembers. So I think that's important, in where you're at in your phase, building up to these endurance events for people is knowing that, hey, what have I done before? And what is my base? And that base could be what we've done short term, or that base could be what we've done long term.
No, I could not agree more with all of that. And I think maintaining a certain level of fitness, I think that's the other thing to do when you're looking at people's training regimens and programs, like, taking it all in context. And you mentioned, you're training on your feet, and also, like, a guy like Will Grumke, like, he gets after it every single day. So, like,
100%.
if he doesn't run for some small period of time, like, it's not like the guy's getting out of shape. So,
I think like 4 or 6 weeks ago, he skied a marathon on a skier, right? And like didn't train for it. Had he been skiing inside probably some of his CrossFit functional fitness workouts? 100%, right? So I think that's important, depending on where you're at in your journey, right? If you're training for your first half, hey, that's great, right? Your next half will be easier. In the sense you have that base, right? And as you're doing, making this a lifestyle, right? We've talked about this on the first one. We've kind of went to where we try to do the full Ironman every other year, right? And you and I have talked, we have a goal of doing, a certain amount of them in different places just for the experience. But doing them every other year doesn't mean that we take the year off in between of not doing fitness, right? And then just like you said, now versus 4 or 5 years ago, it is a little bit slower ramp up. Right. Probably a little less intensity on some of the runs, versus trying to hit a certain number as far as a minute per mile, et cetera, really ramping up slowly, but also focusing on the recovery. Okay. So let's dive into that. What are some of the things that you're finding that is working well for you in that recovery aspect?
So it's I'll kind of cover from two ends. So one is kind of on the front side of the big blocks. The thing that I really noticed is, from a preparation standpoint, like, my nutrition, hydration, and sleep, especially like the day or two before a big block, really makes a huge difference in terms of, like, how much it takes out of me. And so, really kind of avoiding booze, because I've noticed that, for me, as, again, this is a function of getting older as well, like, even just a little bit of booze can upset, sleep and sort of rest. And so, like, your body's already kind of, like, really kind of worn down going into the block. And so, I really try to kind of keep focused on eating clean, staying hydrated, you know, keeping electrolytes in so you can avoid cramps and some of that stuff, because that's another thing that I think, you know, people can sometimes lose sight of. So on the front, and then, you know, just getting good night's sleep and really kind of paying attention. We all, you know, the wearables and the data kind of geeks, whether it's Whoop or Oura Rings or Garmin, you know, these things, they can be data overwhelming, but they also have a lot of good insight to kind of say, okay, like, how did I sleep last night? Like, how, you know, how is my heart rate and, you know, heart rate variability and all that kind of good stuff. So I've noticed that, like, when I'm better on the front side, I break down less on the back side, on the backside of a big block. And so, that's one big thing for me that has really proved effective. And then, you know, on the backside of a big run, you know, I bit the bullet and invested in some Normatec boots. So I've been wearing those. But also, just like we kind of joked about it before, but like, doing some stretching and doing a little, you know, I've been incorporating some yoga into my kind of regular routines. I mean, nothing, you know, just a 30-minute yoga session, like, will do wonders in terms of like stretching and maintaining some flexibility. And then the last thing that I never really believed in this, but, you know, that, you know, people, I used to hear people talk about, you know, shakeout runs and little workouts kind of coming off the heels of a big block, you know, kind of the next morning. And like, I'm like, well, that doesn't, how do you recover from a lot of running by doing more running? Like, it didn't make sense to me. And so, but lo and behold, you know, going back to your earlier comment about me not being a professional in this arena, I was completely wrong. And like, I've noticed that, like, when I do, usually, like, if I do a big run, like, I'll do, you know, something on Sunday, whether it's a, you know, a bike ride or a swim or something. And I always end up feeling a lot better after that second workout, coming off of a big block on Saturday.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the same thing, like taking a day completely off, right? Like, when you're beat down, you take a day completely off, you don't do any active recovery.
Right.
You actually will feel probably more sluggish the following day because you didn't do anything, right? And that's right. Where, you know, even if we're just talking about getting out and walking, right? And doing some stretching and just, you know, going through those ranges of motion really helps, right? And I talk about it all the time. Like, I've noticed as I've gotten older, I feel much better when I do stay more active, right? And what I mean by that is, even if my intensity is not high inside of my training, I still feel better if I'm doing stuff on a daily basis versus not doing anything.
Right.
You know, so I think that's, you know, very important and it's once again, being able to truly look at and not just go out, because so many of us think, okay, training, I've got to train hard, or I've got to, you know, it's got to be mileage. Whereas you're talking about a shakeout run, it is really just going out and just running a couple of miles, super easy, yep. Right? Like, maybe stopping and stretching some and just like truly washing off, you know, that hard day the day before. Even though right now your hard day is not hard in intensity or speed, right. It's still time under tension. It's still, you know, the breaking down of taking, you know, X amount of steps over that period of time.
Totally. Yeah. And that it's a night and day difference. And one other thing that I forgot to mention is kind of intra workout nutrition is also something to play with, like, that makes a big difference. I forgot to mention that earlier, but it makes a big difference on the backside from recovery. You know, so if you're not properly fueled, you'll typically have a harder workout, but it also, the recovery is a lot harder. So, and everybody, and people are different, you know, in terms of what people like, how many calories you take in, what do you use in gels versus, you know, Clif bars or whatever else. You know, that's another thing, is like, if you're fueling, you know, for, you know, even the low end, you know, just kind of performance, like, you don't crush yourself and have to then like dig out of a hole when you're done.
Yeah. And I think so, you know, especially speaking to clientele that I work with, right? Because most of the individuals I'm working with, they're still on their fat loss journey, right? And even for you right now, you're still trying to trim down a little bit. So right. Your base nutrition is in a caloric deficit, but then we're right. Here, we're out doing these long runs, these long bike rides. So and it's neat that you said that. I've changed kind of my philosophy of that. You know, I used to be like, well, if it's zone two, just don't eat because you're creating a bigger caloric deficit. But the problem is, when you're in that caloric deficit, it's very tough to recover, right? Thinking on, okay, we got to recover. So now, you know, what I'm doing is, okay, And let's just say this is a consult with Dennis, right? So that the listener can kind of hear what the conversation would look like. Like, okay, hey, Dennis, you're starting to get over that hour, on your runs now. You're starting to get over 2 hours on your bike rides. Let's keep your baseline macros the same, right? So we've got you on 2,600 calories, 200 grams of protein. That's your base calories, for your slowly producing some fat loss with the volume of training you're doing. But I want to now make sure that we're consuming 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour during your training if it's over an hour. So, in your 2 hour run, I need you to at least have 60 grams of carbs during that 2 hours, if not 120, right? That's the conversation I'm having, right? Because if we look at the data, we did this on the deep dive into carbohydrates, the body can absorb 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour, if it's like from glucose or maltodextrin, that type of thing. And then you can go up, the body can go up to 90 grams of carbs per hour if you're using fructose and glucose, right? Or maltodextrin and fructose. So if you're adding that fructose in there, you can go up to 90 grams of carbs per hour that the body can absorb, break down, and use. So I've started doing that and allowing my clients to consume more during the longer sessions on top of their baseline macros. Okay. And that's working well because I feel like people are recovering better. They're still losing body fat, in that process. And like you said, from your standpoint, you've noticed that you recover better when you're adding that fuel in.
Totally. And yeah, the rule of thumb that I've used, and I think it ends up shaking out to about the same as what you mentioned. What I've kind of used, and it is, I kind of, the watch or whatever wearable most people have, will tell you how many calories you burned during that big block. And usually I'm consuming about half of that, in terms of like, extra calories for, for that session. It's kind of where it ends up shaking out. And, it's, I use, there's a couple good gels in the market that are, actually recent additions out there that are sort of more natural and less sort of sugary and gross, that I've been using. And some, so
You use BPN's gels, right?
BPN's gels. Yeah. They're really, and they're all like, they're super, natural, not a lot of ingredients. They've been great. And so they're about 100 calories a gel. And, I've just been playing with the timing, is it every 3 miles, every 4 miles?
Miles, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I use, of course, our Solute Ultraformance as my solution drink. But we don't make a, First One doesn't make a gel currently. So I know
They
you were talking.
should. You should tell
Yeah, I know. Sal,
them.
make a gel.
Right, please.
As the unofficial sponsor of the Jerry Mullins podcast, right? So,
Right.
I like to joke that I'm the unofficial sponsor because every 2 weeks I get a paycheck.
Right. Yeah, your sponsor pays you every 2 weeks. You get a deposit.
But I think that's a thing like we've always done as a company, right? Even back to Andy, I remember 6 or 7 years ago talked about a product they was using of a friend's company, right? Totally transparent in that, guys. Like, if we don't have a product, right? Like then, we have good relationships with these other companies that out there, right? So if someone comes to me and like, hey, I'm using BPN, gels, I'm like, awesome. Good for you, right? I've actually tried their energy bar for their workouts. Once again, another thing that we don't make. We make protein bars, but we don't necessarily make energy jars for endurance athletes. So I think Katie, she is big on, so Ultraformance doesn't work well for her. She does Tailwind, I
Oh,
think is
I've heard good things about Tailwind.
Tailwind. So that's the reason I always try to teach, okay, this is what the data says, 30, 60 grams of carbs, per hour. Cause you mentioned this also, like some people like to do it in solid food. Some people like to do it in gel. Some people like to do it in liquid, right? So finding, that quote, feeding, consistency that you like is the key in that to help with recovery.
Yeah, one thing I think that sometimes I know I've talked to people that people don't always think about to this particular topic is, if you're, especially if you're training for an event, most times the event will publish what kind of nutrition is going to be on the course. And so, it's good to try whether or not that a nutrition, because we've talked about a couple different brands and, like whether or not a company makes something or not. But the other key, and you mentioned Katie, like, Ultraformance not working for her, like everybody's little system's gonna be a little bit different. So
Different.
like the worst thing possible is you try something new out there on the course and you have some GI issue associated with that. Like that ain't the good time for for you to discover that is on race day. And so training from a, you know, body and fitness standpoint is one thing, but also for especially these long endurance events, like training for the nutrition aspect of it as well, and figuring out what agrees with you and what doesn't is super important. And I know I've tried some things that didn't work, and, you know, like I was glad I did it on a training run, because, you know, I didn't want to figure that out later.
100%. Like you just have to do different stuff, right? From that aspect. Now, the other thing, and I don't think I mentioned this earlier, is remember on the hydration point, guys, you know, half your body weight in ounces is a great standard starting point for how much fluid you should take in. So yeah, half your body weight in water per day. Okay. That's just base. Then what I would recommend is replace anything that you lose during training. And that might be hard, right? And once again, you know, if we're talking about Olympic athletes, and okay, you're going to have a sweat test done, we're going to know exactly how much, you know, you sweat and lose. But as lay athletes, you know, what you can do is, you know, weigh yourself before a long run, or weigh yourself before a long bike ride, you know, then weigh yourself when you get back, you know, see how much you lost, basically how much you take in, and then you know how much you need to replace, right? So if you drink 16 ounces of water, but you're 3 pounds lighter, you probably need to drink 32 ounces. Yeah, 32 ounces, do my math right. 32 ounces more water to replace that, because you've lost right. That, right? So just making sure that you're replacing what you're losing during training is also. So you could do a pre weighing of yourself and a post weighing of yourself to know much how fluid you need to get in. And then remember, just the color of your urine is a great indicator. So making sure that your urine really only is quote unquote darker or has a tint to it first thing in the morning, the rest of the time it should be fairly clear, is a good hydration signal for yourself.
Would it also be an important note, like when we talk about hydration, particularly on these endurance events, like, and you know, you'll know this better than me, like, you know, sometimes, you know, just drinking water sometimes isn't going to get it done, like getting the, making sure you get the electrolytes in, you know, because I have found that if I just drink water, and I made this mistake on my first marathon where I only took water in, and I ended up cramping late in the race because I wasn't taking in any electrolytes. And so I don't know, maybe covering off a little bit on that front as well, in terms of the importance of mixing in electrolytes as well as just straight up water, you know, as, and the benefits of that.
Well, I think that's where a lot of people, you know, kind of get in trouble in general, like, oh, make sure you're hydrated, right? And we never really practiced this, you know, before. Because then what happens is we drink a bunch of water before our event. We're actually flushing out, unfortunately, right, a lot of your electrolytes, right? So making sure that, you know, once again, you're kind of practicing everything early on is key. But yeah, I think, you know, either your carbohydrate solution should have some electrolytes in it, right? So some potassium, some magnesium, some sodium, or you're taking that in like a different product. Right. So you're doing hydration sticks or something like that. So, you know, that's something to play around with. Once again, it's going to be different for each person. So yeah. I'm pulling up real quick because I do not have it memorized. So Ultraformance is what I use of First Form, our product. It's very good. And the good thing about it, it comes in a powder form. So you can mix it to your like taste, but also to how strong you want it. So maybe people don't want to drink a lot of fluid, but they want the carbohydrate. You can almost mix it up and do it just like shots of it to a certain point, right? Or maybe you want to drink a lot of fluid and you just want a little bit of a tint, quote, to the taste. Then you can put more water in it. That's the one thing I do like about it being a powder form versus you know, a pre-mix. But you're looking at one scoop is 224 grams of carbs, right? So once again, going into that, you can do three scoops an hour. Put you a little bit over that 60 gram, you know, mark, but it is a dextrose and a fructose solution, you know, so you've got basically glucose and fructose in the product, which would allow you to absorb over the 60 grams of carbs per hour. And then inside of it, you've got your magnesium, you've got your sodium, you got your potassium, all kind of mixed in it. So you could do a product like that, you know, like the Ultraformance that has everything in it. Or, you know, you could do water, right, with gels, and then, you know, hydration sticks, right? So there's multiple ways to kind of play with it, right? But like you said, just don't do water in the sense of just increasing, you know, okay, I got to increase my water, you know, so I'm hydrated. Because I've seen a lot of people do that before a big event. It's like they overcompensate the water, right? And then kind of dilute down those electrolytes, you know, as they go through. So,
yeah. It's not
Was it
pleasant.
learn from our mistakes?
It's unpleasant when you hit the proverbial wall and every muscle in your body feels like it's seizing up, and so then it was pickle juice, it was Powerade, it was just, so yeah, sometimes, we're not always the smartest guys in the world. We learn lessons the hard way, but it's all right as long as we learn a lesson, I guess.
It happens. Now you mentioned the Normatec sleeves earlier, right? So that is like for those that don't know, it looks like big pants. You put your legs in it and it kind of squeezes down. Have you done any of like the cold plunges, cold showers, massages, what anything else that you're playing around with?
Yeah, so I've actually there's a local massage place that you can kind of do like a monthly deal, and so I've been doing deep tissue massages. Like these are not the massages you go like with your significant other to like relax and like whatever. These are like you're gritting your teeth as they're working the knots out.
You're
So
leaving in pain.
yeah, it's in fact, it's funny because she always says to me afterwards, she's like, "You're going to be sore after this one, so make sure you take care of yourself." And so it's almost like a workout in and of itself, but that's made a huge difference as well. And then I've kind of the other end of the cold plunge, I've kind of done some infrared sauna work. That's been a big help. So getting in there and really kind of getting the body heated up, and that allows for like some stretching work. It kind of makes you feel looser, and you're able to kind of stretch a lot easier, and just kind of I feel like that adds a lot to my recovery as well. So that's been the other thing that I've added into the routine.
And I think it's important for people to understand that different recovery mechanisms, just like different training modalities, just like different nutritional approaches, can work different for each person. Okay. So my spiel and what I would teach here is, you mentioned wearables earlier. I would encourage like the Whoop app for a year, especially if people are getting into their fitness journey, or once again, they're finishing up their weight loss journey and really getting into maybe endurance as the lifestyle, right? They've decided, hey, I really like this mentally, physically, just like you and I have. We're going to do endurance events, maybe not every year, but every few years we're going to go out and do a big one. But we're always going to do that type of training. I think investing in the Whoop app for a year is very important, right? Because what you said, for me especially, like I notice if I drink, it really affects my recovery score. Okay, now one drink, I'm okay. It's if I go over two drinks, that's when it really affects my recovery score. So I know I've definitely cut down on the volume of drinking. I probably still have like, if you look at over the course of 365 days, I maybe drink the same amount of days, but I definitely don't have the second glass as much as maybe before. Okay. But yeah, looking at the Whoop is, I think, something that people should do if you're really looking at, okay, how does these things affect my recovery, right? Is it worth paying the monthly fee for the massage? Is it worth, investing in infrared sauna, cold plunge, whatever that case is, because you can see how that works for you. Now, local people to me, the facility that I've been going to and training at CrossFit, it's Peak Performance. So they have a CrossFit gym inside of a PT clinic. They now, guys, have a recovery room that people could get a membership for. So if you don't want to drop the, $4,000 or $5,000, whatever the cost is for cold plunges and infrareds, you can get a membership that you can use it so often. So I'm super excited about that because they just opened that. So I'm gonna start adding into my routine, and we can, maybe come back on and talk about how that's affected, recovery from that aspect. And they have a full kind of massage chair like you're talking about. They have the Normatec sleeves. I think they have a cold plunge and the infrared. So I'm super excited to play around with them to see which one helps me, from that aspect. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, having that available. And some gyms have some version, different stuff, saunas, and there's different facilities. Yeah, like you said, you didn't want to drop the coin. I mean, some of these things are expensive, and you got to kind of weigh it out and see what fits in and what you prioritize. And I did a lot of research before I dropped some dollars on the Normatec boots and things like that, because they're not cheap. But when you research a product and you see, like in that case, like to a person, everybody said it's a game changer, and so that's what sold me. And it's totally, I highly recommend that kind of stuff. But like you said, like play around with what works for you, and you'll find something that works better for you versus other stuff.
Well, I mean, an action item I would encourage people to do, and this has helped me, right, is just to be like, hey, I'm going to spend 10 minutes right? 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after doing some type of recovery.
Yeah.
And I think why, and I may be putting words in your mouth, right? Because I think you and I are alike with this, you know, because you're busy and you're always wanting to be like, oh, I've got stuff to do. The Normatec kind of takes care of itself. All you got to do is get in it and push the button.
Yep.
The membership at the massage place takes care of itself. You just got to go there, right?
Yep.
So a lot of the stuff that you've implemented is kind of like me is, you know, for me to sit down and stretch myself, and my mind's going, okay, I've got messages I need to answer. I got emails I need to answer. Like I need to go do that, right? Versus if you're doing something that is automatic, right? Sitting in a sauna, sauna's doing the work.
Yep.
So you can still, you know, so those things I think, you know, could help a lot of people, you know, in the aspect of making it a routine, but I would commit to like, once again, 10 minutes, 5 minutes before and 5 minutes after. So,
well, the other thing I would just tack on to the end of what you said in terms of like people and finding time, even finding the time to do these things is it ties into something you said on your stories the other day, but it was in a different context, but I think it applies here. It's like, all right, well, like, you know, having time to, you know, spend, you know, X in the sauna or go to get a massage or just, you know, spending time recovery. Like, you know, when people say like, ah, oh, it's hard to sort of fit that stuff in, like, well, you know, I look at your screen time. You got time. You just got to figure out where you're going to prioritize it. And in my case, this stuff has become a priority because my body, which, you know, I haven't figured out a way to slow down father time yet. So, you know, he basically said, all right, like you're going to need this or else you're going to be in some trouble. And so it forced me to kind of make that prioritization. But it's a matter of prioritizing if it's important enough to you. And you kind of rank those benefits that you get out of it ahead of maybe something else that you might spend that time doing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I pulled mine up right now just to see where I'm at today, you know, and it's 90 minutes in the first form app, which once again, I'm working in that. Right. So, you know, that's, you don't want to just look at your screen time and be like, oh man, I'm on the screen for, you know, 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay. You know, so as of now this morning, you know, 90 minutes, close to 90 minutes in the first form app makes sense. Facebook 10 minutes, which, you know, most of the time is work. What I've learned, I don't go down rabbit holes anymore. I used to. Yeah. I used to lose a lot of time with looking at comments, going down rabbit holes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, messages, because it's an app. Okay. I'm messaging people 6 minutes on Instagram, 4 minutes on the news. That's what I've had on my quote unquote screen time today. So yeah, I think, you know, for people that are really, you know, trying to fine tune this, make, you know, endurance their lifestyle, right? Endurance sport or endurance hobbies, right? As their lifestyle, you know, and especially as we're aging, like, okay, how do we work this in to where, you know, we're not isolating our family, you know, our family's not becoming, you know, resentful because we're spending 3 or 4 hours, you know, out running, you know, like you said, you know, that you're going out and doing that early on Saturdays,
yeah.
Right? And then You're still at home, you're still a husband, you're still a father the rest of that time, okay? You know, you're adding in some of this recovery aspect so that you can recover, right? You've been smart about your training, doing more base work or more lower intensity. And that's what, you know, really we want people to understand is, you know, hey, when Dennis comes on, it'll always be about once you lose your weight, you have to identify as what you are next. And I think that's the reason a lot of people don't have long-term success inside of wellness programs, right? Because they come into it, it's just fat loss. So they never identify as, you know, like in your case, an athlete, endurance athlete, right?
Yeah.
And we say that in the sense of like, that's kind of one of your identities, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, husband, yes, father, yes, CFO, do you get it? Yeah, I get it?
Yes.
Yes.
F. Yes.
The F, you know, kind of as your identity. And when you do that, then you get joy out of all these right. things that you're doing, right? And I think it's important that people understand, you know, hey, you can balance this with a busy life, right? Do we need to be smart about it? Do we need to learn? Do we need to try different stuff? 100%, right? But it can be done, right? And it can bring joy to your life.
And yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I think the thing that I would sort of tack on to the end of that is for me, you know, I mean, having, you know, and for those who are watching, I mean, the wall back here where I've got the Iron Man painted on the wall and the thing, you know, this has become part of my identity. I mean, this is where I'm sitting right now is where I do conference calls for work and everybody I get on with talking about balance sheets and income statements, they're still seeing the Iron Man stuff back there and on the wall. And it becomes, you know, people who know me even a little bit kind of know that that's just part of who I am. And, you know, I'm proud of that. And I think it's also something that, you know, in addition to kind of staying fit, it can, it can create sort of a sense of identity in terms of an accomplishment for folks, you know, and finding ways to sort of set goals that give folks a sense of achievement, something to strive for, is important in the context of, you know, just having goals in general as in terms of, you know, stretching yourself as a human being. And so, like, for me, I've gotten a lot of sort of personal fulfillment and benefits and even other aspects of my life by having that be part of just who I am now, kind of post weight loss.
And it's funny how endurance events will do that, right? It's a lot like life.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about grit. You learn a lot about, like, you know, mind over body sometimes, you know, which is life, you know? So I think that's, you know, I think that's a great way to end this call. A great, you know, quote metaphor, you know, to, you know, adopting this as a lifestyle. And once again, every single listener doesn't need to go out and do marathons. That's not what we're saying. Like, you may be a runner, you may be some other, you know, sport or hobby, and that's totally fine, right? But our goal is, you know, just to speak from experience and give tools. And this is what's going on. Talk about our struggles, that we've made mistakes in the past and you know, all that. So I don't have any cool Ironman stuff in the background of my office yet. You can see where I've cut down on drinking. Maybe I do have a stockpile of drinks in the corner. Boots, yeah. Looking over my shoulder, you know, make sure that we stay on point. So, man, it is always good to catch up. One thing I'd had on the notes we didn't really get into with the time frame today is sleep. So next time we come on, I want to dive, you know, more into, you know, how sleep has become important. What are the things you're doing to optimize your sleep hygiene, and how that's affecting. So, you know, that would be kind of the main topic when we bring you on, you know, in a month or so as we're progressing out. And eventually I'll start my training program with you. You know that I'll be there.
Right, I mean, we will get something in. It might be, you know, it might be dangerously close to November, but we'll do something at some point.
Yeah, I will start swimming soon. I've been biking. I've been getting my time on my feet. I've got two of the domains down.
You got to get into the water eventually. I mean, I think last Ironman, maybe you did one swim ahead of the main event, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, listen, hey, my wife's doing it this year, which means she'll be training for it, you know, probably as soon as her Leadville's over in August. Like, she's probably going to be in the water in September. So I'm going to say, put on record, that I will at least swim September and October this year, just because she will be.
Now, you guys will, and just for clarity, and I know Katie will appreciate this, you guys will start at the same time. And then she will quickly, much like, you know, many things, she will race ahead and you will be left in the dust.
100%. And I used to say I would catch her on the bike and then she would catch me on the run. But right. I don't think that's going to happen either. I think it's going to be one of those things like, hey, honey, I'll see you at the beginning. And then, you know,
please wait for me.
Be like the last Ironman. I don't know if we said this. Like, she finished the finish line. Her family, her parents were there. Boom. They were gone.
Right.
It's me. And I'm just sitting around by myself. Katie's going home. I'm waiting for Dennis to finish. I think Jeff finally picked me up. Yeah. Took me home. I'm jackhammering because I'm so cold after it. But
you did hang around for you, my fellow, you know, slow guy, waited around for me at the end. But yeah, most other people were long gone by the time we got done.
Listen, when it comes to our times, we're not talking about waiting hours. It's minutes. So it wasn't like I had to wait around too much. So. Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. Listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll put all the links in there of the products, you know, we talked about today. I do have a free link. If you want to try Zoom out, you can get a free month. I get a free month back. I'm always straightforward in how any of this, you know, things work. But if you guys want to try out any of the performance products that we've talked about today, send us a message. Check it out on firstform.com. We will talk to you guys soon.
Bye, everybody.